Alrighty, everyone. OBS settings updated, changed the way life worked, cut the opening off by just a little bit, but hey, we're here. I think we're good. Everything should be live. And if you're joining us right now, we're going to be talking about the Game Awards. That's our annual episode, what we do every year. We get to vote on our favorite games. Well, not our favorite games specifically, but it's whatever Mr. Keeley and company decided are our favorite games for this year. And by us, you know, of course, I'm your host, Adrian, and joined with me, as always, the game duck himself, Alex.
What's up, Alex?
Who now actually speaks duck. I don't think we've never had the duck speak before.
Yeah.
A man looks dead on the other side. I'm just looking at him. He's just like, I'm as dead as a duck. Is that an expression, dead as a duck, or is it just dead as a doornail?
I think it's a doornail. I don't think duck is... I think there's any expressions that involve ducks, honestly.
There's no duck expression. Yeah. we're just going to power on through it. I know that this episode usually gets a lot of views. People are always curious what we think about. I mean...
And we're very honored that you would even care.
We are. If you're on Spotify, Google Play, you know, any of those audio places that we're on, or if you're on, you know, watching us on the YouTube, our beautiful faces, we appreciate. And without further ado, we're going to jump to the Game Awards, which are happening 17 days from now. I'd like how they at least tell us 17 days until the live show, December 7th, at the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles.
Countdown on their website or something?
Yeah, there's a countdown. There's an actual little countdown. Only in days. I don't know if it's going to go and do
so
a
like
whole...
seconds, like when that, it gets closer.
That would be pretty epic if they did. I mean, every year it's gotten bigger and bigger. I think we've also had... part of me is like, we've had enough Jeff Keighley every year. We see this man three times a year. I kid you not. Gamescom, Summer Games Fest, and also the Game Awards. Three times a year, and this is going to be the only time I've actually seen him in person that same year. I'm so like, oh, I ran.
I love how, like, just looking at Jeff Keighley this year was a highlight. You spoke to him, you said words to him, right?
I said words to him.
You said, like, Mr. Keighley, and then he was like, yo, what's up?
Yo, what's up? And then he just kept moving, and I was like, hey, look, moving. That's Jeff Keighley.
So funny. Yeah.
But yeah, so like every year we always vote on the awards. We go through, we're going to do the rundown, and I don't know which order they have it laid out in, but essentially we're going to look, no one knows about best esports or best community or anything like that. We'll of course kind of gloss over those, but we're really going to focus on the main categories this year. Keep it nice, smooth, and fresh. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and start the voting process. I have not actually looked at what's been nominated outside of Game of the Year. So I don't even know where it starts. Okay, it starts at Game of the Year. You want to just go? Do we want to just go from the backside?
Yeah, let's all go. Categories? Let's start from most anticipated game. And then we'll work our ways up from there.
Okay. Most anticipated game. Oh, this is actually a pretty good list right here. We got Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Hades 2, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, Star Wars Outlaw, and Tekken 8. How did Tekken 8 sneak in there? We have three things coming out in January/February month.
Yeah,
Rebirth,
that's a pretty
Like a Dragon.
Front-loaded. Yeah, when is Hades 2 coming out? Do we know?
There's no, Hades 2 is TBA, and I want to say Star Wars is the same thing too. It's sometime next year. We don't know.
Okay.
That's how they did it. I mean, for me personally, Rebirth. I don't think it's hard not to go with Rebirth unless you're going Hades or you're going Like a Dragon.
Yeah.
I'm going Rebirth. I don't know about you. What I mean, which one are you most excited about?
Rebirth, for sure.
Rebirth. There you go, people. Rebirth. I mean, so I've been looking on sale for I've been looking on the Black Friday sales and Intermission, I think is what it's called. Or is it Intergrade? I always get it confused.
You're talking for FF7, right? The Intergrade.
Yeah. So I finally am just going to buy that and maybe over the break end up playing it.
Are you trying to get on PS5 or are you going to get on PC? Because you have the option. You can get either or.
Whichever's cheapest. But I did buy it on PS5.
No, you have, or you purchased Remake on PS4, right?
Oh yeah, on PS4. Sorry. Yeah.
Aren't you eligible for some kind of?
It's a
discount?
Free upgrade. Yeah, I think it's a. I want to say it's a free upgrade because I bought it as opposed to like the when they gave it out for PS Plus.
Yeah,
for
yeah, you paid for it, right? So you're eligible for some kind of upgrade, are you not? I'm not sure how that works.
I believe I am. I can't remember if it's a free upgrade or if it's just like pay $10.
It should be a free upgrade to integrate, as in. The better version should be free, but if you want to play the Yuffie stuff, I think you have to pay money for that.
I think that one is $20 to pay for that.
Which is cheaper than just, then you should just do that in that case. If you
Yeah. So, yeah, FF7 Rebirth. I mean, I don't know if we want to talk about it any further in terms of, I know Sephiroth is playable, so that's a whole cool
He's playable
thing.
Because he was playable in OG, right? Because it covers that part of the story.
It covers that part of the story, but now we've got little dual attacks with him and Cloud, and you know, they really said so much about this game that
He's probably not going to be playable for too long.
No, not too long.
Not more than a chapter, right?
Yeah, it's just that kind of opening chapter where we've. You know, where he was initially with Cloud anyways in that section. I mean, they've gone into depth and shown a bunch of screenshots, gameplay. Like, honestly, if you wanted to know about FF7 Rebirth, you kind of know about it now. For the most part. There's still, of course, like, things you don't know.
Well, I mean, like, what do you know about it?
In terms of, like, they have shown most of the world map. They've also said from where the game begins to pretty much where the game's going to end at.
I have no idea. What did they say that the story goes to?
So I wish I was paying. I didn't want to know. So it was at Tokyo Game Show. They had an hour long conference where they were just showing stuff off, and the director was just talking and talking, and he was happy. He was like, yo, this is hype, yo. they've just over a course of time, you know. All the mini games are going to be there. I think they said
the snowboarding one. That's good.
All the mini games, and yeah, they want you to have fun in the game is the main thing. They want you to have fun.
I know. Well, actually, we don't know. We assume that Vincent is going to be he's going to be mandatory. Like, he'll just be in your party no matter what.
He'll just be. Yeah, he's not playable.
He's not playable.
He's not playable. They confirmed he's in the party, but he is not a playable member in this part of the game.
What do you mean? He's like Red 13.
Yeah.
So he's in your party, but you can't customize him. You can't change his equipment or anything.
Yeah. He's just going to be doing his thing.
Okay. That's fine. I think for me, I'm the most excited for Rebirth Rebirth, because I don't know the story anymore. That's the thing. Like, with the way that Remake ended, the story now is completely wide open. We don't know. Like, even if you played FF7 all those years ago and you're like, okay, now we left Midgar, so now we're going to go to Calm, and this is where Cloud tells the story of how he messed. And this is probably why Sephiroth is playable, because it's part of the flashback sequence where Cloud is retelling his tale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then after that, we know he's going to go, they're probably going to go to Juno and all that kind of stuff. And
yep.
But we don't know precisely how it's going to happen. So
we do not. And we also have all of Zack's story that's the whole kind of exciting thing, or the new, I don't want to say how much new it could be in there, but Zack's story isn't exactly in the original FF7.
He's not dead anymore, right? Or is he still dead?
We don't know if it's like an alternate timeline path, like if two timelines are just basically going merging or what. So that's gonna. I assume he's gonna be playable as well.
So he might be dead, or he might not be dead. And I think that's kind of cool.
He's dead in one way and alive in another way.
I mean, if you're a big fan of Zack, maybe you're
happy about this.
Yeah. Are you glad that he's not dead or whatever?
I'm glad he's not, man.
Cloud, if he's not dead though, like, we have, there's still so many questions. Like, why does Cloud now have the Buster Sword if Zack didn't die?
But you know? That's why I think he's dead in one reality.
He's but dead in Cloud's reality.
In Cloud's,
or Cloud's
reality,
timeline, he's dead. Because that's why Cloud is the best. So, the spoilers for like a 25-year-old game or whatever, by the way. But like, yeah.
I guess we can skip over best adaptation. I don't know if you... Well, I guess, okay, it's pretty simple. Castlevania Nocturne, Gran Turismo, The Last of Us, the Super Mario Brothers movie, and Twisted Metal.
I haven't seen any of those outside of Mario Bros. Did you see Last of Us?
I saw Last of Us was freaking good, man. It was.
Well, then just pick that one.
I'll pick this on the Last of Us. Somehow Twisted Metal.
I forgot that was even a thing.
Apparently, was good. Apparently, really? It was very high. It was like mid-tier rated, like 80s.
Damn, dude.
I was surprised. We want to go best multiplayer. I think we can skip racing and sim strategy.
Because those are games we don't play, yeah.
We definitely don't even touch those. Best multiplayer goes to... What? Baldur's Gate 3 Baldur's Gate 3, Diablo 4, Party Animals,
Fuck
Street
me.
Fighter 6,
Super Mario.
Super Mario Brothers Wonder. How did that creep in there into like... What? So, I guess because they have to like separate these into different categories of best FPS, which I generally consider a multiplayer game.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you take a screenshot of these nominees and cover the category and you're like, hey, what category is this?
I don't
this?
Know what
I
this is,
you,
bro.
People are like, what the fuck? I don't know.
It looks
best
like best
video game.
Best RPG with co-op. Oh, wait, no, but
no,
Mario's
like, yeah,
here.
No, Street Fighter would make sense. What the fuck is, you know, Party Ammo? How does that fit in? Like, if you cover the category, rather, and I do this, like, screenshot these five games right now. And send it to someone back home who might not be into the Game Awards and be like, hey, what category is this? And I bet you they won't be able to tell you.
I don't think that they would. It gets, yeah, the first two are one way. The last three are kind of like.
Even
like,
Street Fighter. Yeah, like why? It's multiplayer. Yeah, what in a fighting game? That's by definition has multiplayer.
Every time for outstanding online multiplayer gameplay and design, including co-op and massively multiplayer experiences. Where are the MMOs at then? Irrespective of game, genre, or platform. Blue Protocol absent. Sorry, Blue Protocol.
Hasn't that game even, it's not even out in English yet.
It is not. They did an update. There was an update last week. There is a new chapter finally coming to the game in Japan. And
I wouldn't be surprised if they just cancel the English release, honestly, at this point.
You want Diablo or Baldur's Gate or Street Fighter 6?
No, Party Animals.
You want Party Animals? This game, I saw people playing. It's kind of.
It looks fun. It looks really fun.
It is fun.
Honestly. Yeah.
It's actually a fun looking game.
Yeah.
Party Animals. Best family. I just want to know if this is all Nintendo again. Best family. Is it all Nintendo games like last year? Disney Illusion Island. That is a Pikmin 4. So that's two Nintendo games, and Super Mario Brothers Wonder, three Nintendo games. But Sonic Superstars and Party Animals are on here as well.
Party Animals?
Party Animals, we want them to win.
I bet you they won't win. They won't win anything. Probably not.
I'm curious. So yeah, Sonic Superstars just came out.
Well, I mean, we have this problem every year. The Game Awards doesn't give a shit when, you know, when you released, honestly, the game could probably come out like a day before these go live and are like, it's on the list.
It's on the list. The reviewers have played it. The people haven't. I think we kind of talked about that off stream a little bit and just in preparation for the show. But like, we'll get to that where it really comes into play. But maybe they should actually put from this month to like January to December. I guess like some range, like if it comes out in here, it's eligible for this year. But if it misses it, then it moves to next year. That's totally fine.
It should be. I feel like it should be like what would be safe? Let's say September to August. I guess September to August. That's 2020. That's 1 year. So if they started doing that, it would be this September to August 2024. All those games would be on Game Awards 2024. I think that's fair, right?
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair. I know some people. I was listening to another podcast. And I'm just like, yeah, it. That's the way it should be. But unfortunately, this show, people or companies will want to put on their box Game of the Year or whatever category
the
they
want.
Yeah, so they can sell whatever amount extra of it.
I think, sadly, I mean, this is a topic for another day, but like, that's just kind of like how the game industry is. I feel like people are really quick to just move on to the next thing for better or worse.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, like we're at the end of 2023 right now. We're looking at all the games that came out calendar 2023, but you know, once January rolls around, a lot of these games are gonna be out of sight, out of mind, you know?
They're out of mind, yeah.
So.
I'm kind of hoping Hi-Fi Rush is at least on here. So we have for best fighting God of Rock.
The fuck is sorry.
Cool,
Oh,
cool, cool. Mortal Kombat 1, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2, which came out very recently. Pocket Bravery. Was that just a mobile? What the? And Street Fighter 6. I
Let's
can't
Street Fighter, let's move on.
I can't just help but look at Luke's smile and everyone else like
He's like about that's a smile because he's about to beat the shit out of
Everyone
everyone on
is
that
a
list.
like
Yeah.
everyone is like a party game category except for Mortal Kombat 1, which I gotta say both of these games I've watched a ton of. You know, but for Street Fighter coming back, honestly, you know, Mortal Kombat never left the building. Street Fighter fucking left the building at one point and had to with five and had to come back. So and they did an amazing job on the systems for that. So best RPG goes. Two, we have whoa, darn it! Why they gotta set me up like this? Baldur's Gate 3, FF16, Lies of P, Sea of Stars, and Starfield. We got two stars up in here.
Hey, do you wanna, if you wanna go for the most controversy, to farm YouTube comments, you should pick Starfield.
I love how to. Controversy is Starfield, whereas I mean we talked about this last year how Monster Hunter was included in this category,
Oh.
and this I can't remember if Elden Ring was as well, but it was one of those things where it was like I'm looking at Lies of P and I'm like I don't, you know, Souls likes the if you consider an RPG or not, it depends on your you know your taste. If you consider FF16 an RPG or just an action game with RPG elements, I guess it still goes into RPG.
I think we have this discussion every single time it comes up,
Yeah.
not just RPG, but also in fighting game, in any category. We're like, that's fucking weird. It's just like, at what point is it an RPG? Like, what, it, you know, like, when do you get to call it an RPG? Is because FF16, I think there's no argument between us that it's mostly an action game, right?
Yeah.
So, like, why is it on RPG? Is it because it has some skill tree involved? Is it because of the name Final Fantasy? Like, why is that on the list, right?
Yeah, honestly, I think the name Final Fantasy carries it more than if you most people were to play it. I don't think their initial reaction is just like for Lies of P. I don't think your initial reaction is, "Hey, this is an RPG," as opposed to Baldur's Gate 3, Sea of
Yeah.
Stars,
Oh,
and Starfield. You know,
yeah.
I guess it doesn't. You have to like think like I guess technically. I love how one person was like, "Yeah, you know, all games are technically RPGs. You're role playing in every game." You're like.
Yeah, you could say that about fucking, you know, any sports game
Any
even, you
sports game?
know?
Yeah,
Yeah.
like
So like
so.
what defines an RPG? I don't think there's an argument for Baldur's Gate 3 or Sea of Stars and, you know, Starfield even, but
Yeah.
like Lies of P, I wouldn't look at more than 10 seconds of that game and being like, looks like an RPG to me. Like, I would never think that,
I never
right?
would think that, yeah. And Final Fantasy, I think the name, of course, but then like you do see I have like the, you know, the HP gauge and the kind of
There's a
mana and
skill
stuff.
tree and there's
Yeah.
yeah, there's you don't even have MP in that game. You just have
That's true.
HP. So you like when do we get to call it like when do you get to call yourself an RPG? We had this discussion last year with what was that fighting game?
Was it Sifu?
Yeah, exactly that one.
That
And we're like, is that a fighting game? Is technically there's combat in it,
It's
sure. Yeah,
combat in
you
it, but
fight in
it's
it, but like is it a fighting game? But yeah, sorry. I
wow.
mean, whatever. I know what's your pick for this one?
I don't know. What this is one of those where we go, do we want to go with what we think is going to win or what we want?
No, I think Baldur's Gate 3 should it should be Baldur's Gate. I'm pretty sure.
Baldur's Gate,
Yeah.
there's no.
Yeah.
There's no handset. I mean, you played Sea of Stars, and we both played FF16. I
FF16,
played
yeah.
Lies of P. We're not that. We're not Bethesda in it, but you know, in terms of Baldur's Gate 3, I've never looked at a CRPG game. I think that's what they're. Or is yeah.
The C stands for computer
Yeah,
or what?
computer. Yeah, computer
Okay.
RPG.
As if okay, these games aren't running on computers. Okay, but yeah.
But these kind of point and click RPGs that, you know, typically used to be like just hardcore you know, hardcore fantasy, which this is still hardcore fantasy. It is D&D.
Yeah,
but
it's like classical, it's like some,
yeah,
yeah, that kind of fantasy,
stuff. I would never really look into playing, but you know, all the work they put into that game, and I watched a lot of people stream it and enjoyed the dialogue, enjoyed the combat, sure. And I'm like, yeah, best action adventure game. As it loads, okay, here's a hard one. What the? Okay, so we have Alan Wake 2, Marvel's Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and The Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom.
So why is Liza P not in this? Like
that, I expect Jedi Liza Survivor P to be in here.
Does Jedi Survivor not have a skill tree or something?
Jedi Survivor has a skill tree. Jedi Survivor is Jedi Survivor is essentially like a Souls-like-ish.
What's the difference? Why is Liza? Why don't I understand? I don't get this legitimately.
I don't understand. So we have what? Action adventure. Okay.
Are there no puzzles in Lies of P? Like,
there's no real puzzles in Lies of P, I guess. But I mean, we got complex puzzles in RE4. I love how they don't call RE4 a remake either. It's RE4.
Well, because there's no. I think officially there's no remake in the title.
Is there no remake in the title?
It's just RE4. Yeah.
Oh, okay, it's just RE4. All these games are technically twos, except for RE4. They're all a sequel.
Oh yeah, that's true.
This is one I have only played a little bit of Tears of the Kingdom. I've seen a little bit of Spider-Man 2. Do not want to watch Alan Wake 2 because that's one I really want
to
play.
You want to get to it, right?
Yeah, I watched a good chunk, if not all of RE4 played. And then Jedi Survivor, unfortunately, had a lot of technical issues on launch. This was
on,
I think,
for all platforms or
for specifically PC? This was, I think, the first game out in March, I want to say, is when it came out.
Yeah, it was like a while ago, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the first games that started the trend this year of, how come PC games aren't running smooth and efficiently now?
Yeah.
It just became a thing this year.
I have no horse in this race. I've actually played zero of these games, so.
RE4.
I mean, technically, there's action in RE4, and I guess you're on an adventure, and there's puzzles in it. So, yeah.
These categories is... I mean, I guess, you know what? I did play Tears of the Kingdom. It is it is more Breath of the Wild. In terms of, like, what I think of as an action-adventure game, something like Jedi...
Yeah, if you ask me, like, action-adventure, I'm definitely imagining Tears of the Kingdom, you know, that kind of thing, so...
Yeah. Take one for us, Link. Now that I'm not biased against you. Okay, then we have best action. Oh, hold on. Best action game. Best action adventure game.
Focus primarily on combat. Is that not fucking Liza P? Like, I don't understand. Like,
best action game for the best action adventure game combining combat with traversal and puzzle solving. Like, the best ones for this. Like a Tomb Raider or a Uncharted, you know, that's what I think of when I think of that.
Action adventure, what you mean, right?
Action adventure, yeah.
Because you're on an adventure, but this is specifically just action, less adventure, just action.
Oh my gosh, what an actual heck? Okay, so Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon, Dead Island 2, which is more of a third person action adventure game, Ghost Runner 2, which just came out, Hi-Fi Rush, and Remnant 2. Which is a third person I think it's a little bit roguelike, a little bit multiplayer, co-op. That should have been in multiplayer. Remnant 2 should have been in multiplayer.
I think every year we like, the categories are just like weird, man.
This year feels really weird. Honestly, I watched almost all of Remnant 2 stream. That game is, it's pretty cool. I got respect for it. But now they got to make me choose between Armor Core and Hi-Fi Rush.
Let's do Armor Core.
Can I just do Hi-Fi Rush? I want them to win.
Fine, whatever, man. I don't care.
Okay. Hi-Fi Rush. I wish this game was up for more. It came out in, was it January? It was, like you said, kind of like that really early in the year thing. Mm. Shadow dropped by Microsoft. Well, not shadow dropped. They had an event, and then they said, hey, this game's out now. Go play it. Hold on. And that was it. That was the most press. But game reviewed very well from Tango Works. Typically doing horror games. It is an amazing game, honestly. Do you want to go for best ARVR or skip and go
I like literally, I can't. I have nothing to say about those games.
Huh? Best indie debut and best independent game. They separated those. So best indie debut for the best debut game created by a new independent studio. Cocoon, Dredge, Pizza Tower, Venba, and Viewfinder. I've only heard of three of these games.
I haven't heard of any of these.
One. So Viewfinder is a game where you are constantly, you know how those old Viewfinders, like you would just look through it and you could take like a little snapshot and it would. Oh, wait. No. Viewfinders is you have a photo, right? You had like a little card and you just had like it was like a visor. Like you would hold it.
Are you
like
talking
this.
About the red disc thing?
What's the red disc. Yeah, and you would put.
What are the things called?
I think they're just called viewfinders.
It's gonna really bother me. No, it's like a branded name for it.
I have one at home.
90s.
Very 90s. Yeah.
What's it called? I don't think Viewfinder is gonna bring it up.
Try it. It might come up.
Oh,
I don't
it
know.
Does kind of show up. It's called the Viewmaster. There
Viewmaster.
You go.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a game with that as the concept. It's a puzzle game, and every slide, like picture you take, you can substitute it in while you're looking around, and it becomes like a doorway for you, kind of.
Dude, these are so fucking cool, man.
Do you like them? I have one of them and I can't remember what the actual, I think, no, I had a Sesame Street one.
Yeah. So like when something you pop like that it too. In, yeah, it's like yeah. Yeah.
Bert and Ernie or something.
And
like
the stupid,
that.
Like it's like a paper disc. If you guys are younger than 20, you would have no idea what we're talking about, but it was like a plastic, red kind of visor you put up to your face and, you would slot in a paper disc.
Mm-hmm.
That basically had the equivalent, not equivalent, sorry, but like similar to like a film negative, like a roll of film negative, just like embedded in this paper disc. And you pull a lever on the visor and it would spin the disc and it would bring a new image up to your eyes. And you would basically just look, you would just look at a picture. That's all it is.
And,
you just look at a
not,
picture.
If you're not looking into a light source, like,
yeah,
not,
yeah,
like
it's
a,
too dark. Yeah.
It's too dark. You can't it's really see dark, it. So yeah. You have to like look up into
you have
like,
to look through the, yeah, the light has to,
the light has to be hitting it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's
extremely very 90s, by the way.
Very 90s, along with fanny packs from the 80s that came back and just stayed there.
Now that I think about it, I love, you know, my Viewmaster as a kid, but like thinking about it now, it explaining it made it seem so dumb. It's like, yeah, you look at pictures.
and that was like, for whatever reason, fun.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I love the shit out of it. Yeah, because it's like you get a new disc and you're like, well, what pictures are on here?
Yeah, because they had like maybe 20 pics or something on like a little disc. And so you could just buy a whole pack of discs and like interswap them. And it was kind of like you're watching a still motion. Was it like stop motion video? Not video, but it's like you would watch a TV show.
It was a series of pictures because it only showed one picture at a time and you had to advance it manually. Like it's not... Yeah,
probably the best examples of them would be like sightseeing, right?
Yeah, there you go. That's
like
that's
if
the
you're
shit.
Like,
right
I
want
to
yeah.
go to Paris, and it'll just
I
have
agree,
like
yeah.
different locations. And when you flip over, you'll see. Yeah, that was like the quintessential travel.
because it like went up right against your face. It basically like it filled your whole field
your whole
of vision.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you're actually there. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. But now in this day and age, you'd probably the equivalent would
just
be like
a YouTube or.
Well, I was gonna say like to fill your vision, it would be VR and
VR
or AR. Yeah, that's what we're. That's the current version of that tech, right?
Yeah. Crazy.
Anyways, where are we talking about? Yeah.
I'll just put Viewfinder because we liked the Viewfinder itself. We liked the Viewmaster. I thought that there were more indie games. I know Dave the Diver, people had talked about that, asking like why it wasn't on here. I know that was a pretty big game. The Suika game. Yeah, the Suika game should have been up on this list. I know it didn't come out this year, but it blew up this year, man.
Oh, yeah.
It blew up. I'm afraid to click best independent game.
It's fine. Just pick Dave the Diver and let's move on.
Is Dave the Diver actually in this? Oh, wow. It is. Oh, wow. Cocoon, Dave the Diver. Wait, but these are all debut games, too.
I didn't make the categories.
Cocoon, Dave the Diver, Dredge, Sea of Stars, and Viewfinder. Are you sure you don't want Sea of Stars? I mean, you played it. You played Sea of Stars. You enjoyed it.
I'm about to finish. I'm going to beat it like tomorrow or 2 days from now on stream.
It's been a pretty good journey.
It's good. It's a good game. I mean, I could talk a little bit about it, but it's a good game. It's fine. But I don't know if it's the best independent game of the year, you know? It's a tall order, really.
It's a tall order. I mean, so here was the thing. I was listening to another podcast, and they were describing, apparently, so Mint Rocket is a studio created by, what's the Korean publisher?
You just can't say the Korean publisher.
There's only so many of them, but I think
you're talking about Nexon?
Nexon? I think it's Nexon, yeah. They created an indie studio for this purpose.
To make weird games?
No, they made a studio, so it's not really like, I guess, like a group of people who came together to make this small. I don't know. It's owned by a big company.
Sure.
That makes any sense. So it's like, is it indie? Is it indie? It's a big company that just made a small studio for the purpose of award seasons, like, is what I heard. I don't know. But I want to give it to Sea of Stars. Those guys are high.
Sure.
Thank you. That was like the weirdest thing. Best ongoing. I'm going to assume that's like Apex and such like that.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Which there aren't too many. Okay. Okay. Never mind. Awarded to a game for outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves the player experience over time. Apex Legends, Cyberpunk 2077. That's where I put my mouth back
that's
up.
So, so funny.
Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Genshin Impact. I got messed up on this one, bro, when Cyberpunk got thrown in. But that's for the DLC.
It's for the, basically, and for the patch, and for the patches. Well, yeah, the patch was the
DLC, right?
No. They came out at the same time, but 2.0 launched, and the DLC requires 2.0, basically. But you can play 2.0 without the DLC if you don't want to, and basically just remade the game, in a sense, like all the systems and stuff.
I don't think 14 had any new content.
Expansion, but there's content patches, multiple patches per year. Because the 14 works on like a TikTok cycle where it's like content patch, content patch, content patch, and they slowly advance the story. And once it gets to like a big climax kind of thing, that's when the expansion comes out and you get a huge like rush of story. Mm-hmm. And then after the expansion comes out, it's more like slow story, more raids. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, they get patches every year multiple times a year.
I know Genshin had its kind of big update.
Fortnite, well, I mean, Genshin gets multiple updates a year, right, as well, so.
I feel like these are for the, like, it's kind of weird because some of these are live service. I mean, they're all live service except for Cyberpunk.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so Fortnite, I think the biggest thing they did this year was go back to the OG map. So everyone, like, OG Fortnite became a thing, like, was trending. People were like, oh, I forgot this is how the first Fortnite map was. Like, oh, this is so awesome. Like, they had I forgot how many concurrent players that came back just to play the first map again. Yeah, and then Genshin added a whole, like, extra kind of place to it. Apex?
It's like three seasons, right?
Yeah.
Two new characters or something like that?
Yeah, I think we just got a new character. Account progression.
Cross progression, right?
A lot of stuff there. I don't know. Like, I feel I want to give it to Cyberpunk, but it's just so mismatched. It effectively does what the category says.
It evolves the player experience over time. I mean, technically, it evolved the player experience one time. So, yeah.
I'll let you choose this one. I don't know. What do you want to put it on?
Yeah, it's Cyberpunk, because otherwise it's we always say 14 every year, but yeah. It's not even fair. Like, wasn't this category is basically the same, almost the same as it was
almost
last
every year.
Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't actually know what was in Cyberpunk's place last year.
Again, we can just pull up the old episode, I guess, but yeah, I don't know. Just pick Cyberpunk.
I think Games for Impact always makes us go, we never played any of these games.
I played none of these games.
I played actually a little bit of a Space for the Unbound. That's actually an Indonesian developer. And I remember Ehe was in the stream. He was like, yo, this is exactly how like it is for me, like going to school. Cause you know, they have the school uniforms. They kind of have some of the things in the environment. And so he was actually really impressed by that. And most of the chat was hype about that. I don't know about Chance of Seminar or Sinar. Goodbye Volcano High, I will probably end up buying and playing, but that is, you know, that's a game, and then I unfortunately cannot say Chia.
Okay.
Chia, but I did watch a little bit of this. This is a little bit of like a Breath of the Wild-like type game where you transform into animals to solve puzzles.
That sounds exciting.
Like you can transform into, or rock. I think you can transform into animals and inanimate objects like rocks and stuff too.
Okay, it's a little less. That sounds a little less exciting, but yeah.
I'm just gonna go Space for the Unbound. It gets hard, like in a year where we had a bunch of games come out. I mean, like a ton of games come out. It's amazing how many of them we still just didn't play. I guess because there were so many.
Yeah, there's a lot of games that came out. Yeah.
We'll skip over innovation and accessibility. I think 1 year was just like best performance.
Best Ben Starr.
So my boy Ben Starr in here. Awarded to an individual for voiceover acting, motion and or performance capture. Ben Starr for Final Fantasy 16, your boy Clive, Cameron Monaghan for Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Idris Elba for Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty. Melanie LaBird for Alan Wake 2. I think that's Saga. And then Neil Newborn for Baldur's Gate 3, Asterion. And then Yuri Lowenthal for Marvel's Spider-Man 2, Peter Parker. We just support Clive.
Ben Starr, baby.
Have you followed him on social media, like on Twitter or anything, or X or
whatnot? No, I don't follow him or anything, but I do know he's very passionate actually about the series in general. I think he went on stage somewhere sometime recently, and he's like, my favorite game is 8, Stop Asking, and it's unique in the sense that not a lot of people like FF8, so you know, that's kind of cool.
That was at the Joystick Awards, and after 16 was kind of out, and they, I guess like the buzz had kind of calmed down. He was just like posting so much. I mean, he posts a lot on Twitter, like, and they're just videos. It's not like he just does text. It's mainly videos or him collaborating with other people. And it's just like funny stuff. Right. And I've honestly enjoyed listening to his kind of satire, you know, throughout the year. And I've actually grown more close to like, yo, this dude is really cool. You know, I didn't know who he was before, but now I'm like, yo, dude's a new
He's like
really
a chill
fun.
Guy. He just seems like a nice guy. So,
Know if I'm gonna. So he has a. I think the Kickstarter's done. I'm pretty sure the Kickstarter's done now, but they have a group of actors that they've gotten together for D&D. Like, I think it's called Critical Six. But for like a live D&D session type stuff. So it's like him. It's like the person from Gerald from The Witcher. They've got like 4 other people who are just like main pro tags in some games. And it's like, okay. I'm thinking about maybe I'll,
you'll follow maybe, that or you watch I'll, that.
Yeah. I've never watched any like Critical Role or anything like that. So,
right.
You know, best audio design, recognizing the best in-game audio and sound design, which should not be confused by best musical soundtrack.
Right.
Alan Wake 2, Dead Space, Hi-Fi Rush, Marvel's Spider-Man 2, and Resident Evil 4. This one I do not know. Like, all the different beats in the background for a Hi-Fi Rush are really cool, but when I, like, the very first time I played Dead Space back in 2000 and whatever that year was, 10 or something. That was the first time I understood what this actual category meant.
What sound design means.
Yeah, I had a 5.1 surround system, and that game, I walked away like, this is audio design? Like, I understood. So I assumed that the remake, which had really good, really, really good reviews, same with Resident Evil 4. I assume it does the same thing. So I can't really say.
I actually haven't played any new games, so I can't.
It's really hard, especially when you're watching on stream. Like, how can you, it's hard to pick up some of the stuff like this, some of this nuance. Some of the stuff like this. So, I'll just give it to Dead Space because I assume.
You're just assuming it's good?
I assume that they, because everything they did for the remake is plus alpha of the original, and the sound design for the original was stellar.
It was good.
Was stellar. So, I'm,
yeah, that's fair.
And then here comes best score and music. Some souls like better be in here. Actually, I'm like, Liza P better be. Okay, I think this one's a little bit easier for us. Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 16, Hi-Fi Rush, and also Tears of the Kingdom.
I only play one of those games.
I only played three of the five. Okay, I played three of the
five.
Which
one had the best soundtrack then?
I mean, there's ain't nothing kind of get so 2:16 and Hi-Fi Rush both had me bopping as I played, like both like fit, like tapping my feet for Hi-Fi Rush and like really getting, because like when you get into it, you're actually just saying the chants to keep stay on beat. So it's like boom, 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 hey, yeah, like, and it's just, you know, you get a really good rhythm with it. But in terms of like, I guess, like just overall songs, I, even though this game does have that and it's really catchy, that's what I remember. I don't remember like the stuff from FF16, which is dun, 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 you know,
the,
just like
the battle theme,
it just goes in, man. You hear it and you just like turn up. You want to yell too. You want to get in it. So, I mean, for me, I love to say,
Soken is a great composer. He's the main composer for 14 as well. And, you know, I'm pretty familiar with his works, and he's good music. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think,
I mean, I only ever played, one of these five games, so I would have to by default say 16, but maybe Zelda's a good soundtrack. I don't know.
Tears of the Kingdom, for anyone asking, is, I mean, it's better than Breath of the Wild, which was more ambionic, like, you know, ambient.
Oh, so not sound, like music per se, but just like background.
Background, yeah. And I think for this game, what they did was, because there's more cutscenes in it, there's definitely more moments where, even though I've only played, I would say, let's say I played a fourth of the game, right? I can say it's definitely an improvement, but yeah, yeah, 16 just gets you going, man. That, and there's not really too many songs in 16 that you really hear if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple songs that stick out to me when I think about the soundtrack. Would be the battle theme, the boss theme, the main theme called Find the Flame, which plays when you fight Ifrit. You transform, spoilers, by the way. And then, I guess the ending theme by, Gunishi Kenzu, right?
Gunishi Kenzu's ending theme, that was washed from my mind. I had to go back and listen to it to be like, oh, that was cool. But they,
do you like
they,
Yonezu Kenshi though?
Yeah, it's fine. It's good.
It's good. Yeah, he's alright.
He makes good hits. I think it's the same thing as when they did Final Fantasy VII's.
The main
ending, like I know, you know, Survives of the Prophet Yosh, but it's not like anyone that I go, oh, this is Final Fantasy to me, you know.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is probably a discussion for another time, but, you know, Final Fantasy has a history of taking, like, a popular
what can
pop
I
artist.
Do for you?
That's what a little can bit I do it. For I mean, you? That technically, yeah, that's, no, that's not good. Really started it from there, yeah. And,
what's that, Kotakumi or somebody for
Kotakumi,
for FF10-2.
But, and then 12 had Angela Aki.
Oh, really? You know what?
Yeah.
12 is still the one I have to go back. I do have it on my Steam Deck, and so maybe I'll actually...
just play it, yeah. And then 13 had two different ending themes, depending on what version of the game, in Japanese or English. 15 had, what did 15 have? The 15, oh, 15 did 15 have, was, yes, was, yes.
Was, what's the main theme of that one? It was Stand By Me, right?
Yeah. Yeah, covered by that band. Covered by that band.
Covered by that band.
Anyways, yeah, they had a, but it's gonna bother me now, shit.
It's gonna bother you. I'll open up Best Art Direction. Hi-Fi Rush should probably be in this too, yeah. Alan Wake 2, Hi-Fi Rush, Lies of P, Super Mario Bros. Wonder, and then also The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. It's got a hard category. Hi-Fi Rush is good. Tears of the, to me, it's only between like Tears of the Kingdom and Hi-Fi Rush. Mm-hmm. But Super Mario Bros. Wonder did change the style a little bit. From like new Super Mario Brothers, like that style we kind of use, it is more pop a little bit, and
that's true. Yeah, I mean, and that's cool. Nintendo, you know, to their credit, they do change. They kind of reinvent Mario every single game. So
yeah, every one of their characters, almost, you know, even for, you know, Kirby became Yarn, yeah. And the Yarn thing became a whole thing, and
they
yeah.
I mean, it's yeah, especially for Mario, I feel like, because. You know, like Sunshine is really, really different. Not really different, but like Sunshine has its vibe. Then it's like Galaxy has a vibe, which is different kind of from whatever the fuck was on Wii U Deluxe. Now, what's it called? I don't know.
What was on the Wii U?
Super Mario Bros. U?
Yeah, that actually might have been it.
It was just called U?
I think it might have been just U.
It is. Oh, it's called New Super Mario Bros. U.
Yeah.
All right. That's the one.
Yeah, I can. I'm okay not giving it to Tears of the Kingdom just because it's the same as Breath of the Wild. There's not. I don't think they went back and did any new textures or any. It, uh-huh. It looks like, hey, if you played the first one, you know what it looks like. Lies of P, unfortunately, I feel like Lies of P, if it were like environmental design, like environmental stuff, I would definitely give it to it. Yeah, because Kratz, the city, is like it's pretty amazing, like everything they've done there. I don't know much about Alan Wake other than it's dark, and it looks like the graphical requirements for it probably has light shining off it. Like, I feel like that's more of like a technical art achievement, but I haven't seen the game to really say much more.
Uh-huh.
So I can just go between Hi-Fi Rush and Super Mario Bros.
Hi-Fi Rush it is.
Hi-Fi Rush it is. This is honestly, I will say this year feels, for all the stuff that came out, I feel like best narrative probably Alan Wake and something else. Alan Wake and Baldur's Gate. Alan's Wake, Baldur's Gate, Cyberpunk, Phantom Liberty, Final Fantasy 16, and Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
Did you play Spider-Man or no?
No, I've not played it.
Okay. I don't know, man. I feel like, even though I didn't play it, I want to say Baldur's Gate is in terms of like a story that like acts up as an actual like narrative kind of thing.
Narrative, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
For all of these games, they all have kind of something that makes them special. Of course, story wise. I mean, for Final Fantasy 16, the whole thing I believe that makes it special is you're playing all the way through Clive's life, right? That's kind of the hook, and then. That epic, right? Which is,
yeah, I really like. Yeah, 16 done. Took a lot of risks in terms of just the typical Final Fantasy formula, and I really like how the story starts out. It's way more mature than the older games for sure.
Yeah, and there's,
and the political intrigue to me was really, really interesting. But then, and I would say like 3/4 of the way through the game, it goes full on. Oh, I'm a Final Fantasy game.
I'm a Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
game.
And it does like the typical JRPG kind of stuff.
That's
it's fine. You know, I like JRPGs, so I kind of more or less expect it. But
we had Cid, yeah. Man. I'm not gonna lie. Like friggin' Cid's story.
The first half of that game. Yeah.
And then of course for Spider-Man, it's mainly the two Spider-Mans and how they kind of. The Spider-Man, yeah, how they interact with each other, the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's the kind of whole thing, like how, you know, Peter Parker is different from Miles Morales and how they are at different points of their lives and how they tackle things differently, but also how they have the same difficulties as well and how they help each other out. So that's what that game's been praised for. Cyberpunk, Idris Elba, I think also just Cyberpunk in general. It's not like the story was ever bad in that game. The game itself around it might have been bad, but the story itself.
Mm. You need to play Cyberpunk still, man.
I do.
It's going to go on sale. It was already on sale.
I have it.
Oh, you bought it?
Yeah. I bought it last year.
On Steam? On Steam? Or?
I believe on Steam. Yeah, on Steam.
Yeah, you should just play it, man.
So, Phantom Liberty. And then Baldur's Gate 3, it's Baldur's Gate 3. Alan Wake 2 does a lot of different things narratively. I think you are literally building the scene investigation. Some meta stuff like Control. So, I don't know. Skip the Baldur's Gate 3.
Just like, yeah, Baldur's Gate.
When in doubt, ball it out.
Baldur's Gate.
Best game direction, which is given to an outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. So I guess innovation is the key here. Innovation in game direction and design. Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Spider-Man 2, Super Mario, and Tears of the Kingdom.
Which of these were the most innovative?
I think this one goes between Zelda,
Super Mario Bros.
Super Mario. For the flowers? For the trip?
A creative vision? Yeah, man. No one's got a vision like Nintendo.
No one's got a new vision like Nintendo knocking it down to build it right back up. I don't know. I feel like Alan Wake 2 actually kind of does this in terms of
creative vision.
The innovation in game design, I feel like, goes to Alan Wake 2.
Didn't that game just come out?
It just came out. And I don't know so much. It's just the way that you're piecing together the narrative and how it's...
Has it even been out for a month? Oh, my God.
I mean, Spider-Man 2 is just more Spider-Man, right? You know, there's not much innovation in there. It's a sequel. It's a hard sequel. There's some fun stuff, of course.
I mean, technically, you could say the same damn thing about Super Mario Bros. It's just more Super Mario.
You run and then
you jump.
I think that the case for Tears of the Kingdom is they just put the dev kit in there. They just said, hi, just make stuff. We don't care how you do it.
Oh, you can fuse your weapons and shit.
You really can. Like, they took the part that people really liked about the first game and just let you do whatever you want. You know, make a big long stick and walk across.
Did you see
it.
The video of a guy he made Metal Gear Rex?
There's so freaking metal. It's the thing is that they can make it, but it's the other thing that they actually work.
Yeah, it actually does. It's an actual
mech that shoots. Or
so
like,
funny. Yeah,
there's a Gundam that you can actually like pilot too. It's like, what the heck? I mean,
yeah.
Is that innovative? It's crazy. It's definitely crazy.
It's really funny. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm okay with giving it to Tears of the Kingdom.
Fine. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
So weird. These are some weird categories. I feel like they're not as clear cut because they just don't mesh sometimes.
Yeah, well, sometimes I wonder how the RPG thing is, you know, and last year's fighting game thing, but whatever.
Game of the year, recognizing a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields. I think here we got technical as well, but yeah, Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Marvel's Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Is this the only category to have 6 nominees?
It's the only one to have 6.
We skipped esports and stuff, so.
Oh, they might have like best teams. There might be 6 teams then.
I'm trying to look right now. Event. I think it is the only category with 6 nominees.
This one is, I mean, I think overall it's Baldur's Gate 3. You can't.
Sure. No, esports athlete has 6. But anyways, yes.
I think if Alan Wake 2 came out any other year, it would be Alan Wake 2. If Alan Wake 2 didn't just come out last month, it would be Alan Wake 2.
You think Baldur's Gate 3 is definitely the best game?
I think Baldur's Gate 3 has the dialogue, like the narrative. It's got the music, composition. It's got the characters. You can play it
got
up and
story,
down.
Yeah, it's got a good story.
5 different ways. Co-op as well. It runs smooth. There weren't really many bug issues with that game.
Oh, yeah, co-op. Yeah, that's strong for that game, too. Fuck, that should have been. Was that a multiplayer? Because it should have been.
What was in multiplayer now? I think it was. Yeah, it was. It was. It was in multiplayer.
Oh, well, we picked party animals.
We picked party animals. Don't worry. Don't worry.
So funny.
And then Alan Wake 2 hasn't had any, like I said, technical fields. I think Alan Wake 2 probably blows everything out the water over here.
Uh-huh.
You know, not to say anything that's wrong. I don't know how I feel about a remake being on for Game of the Year. Like,
feel like it's cheating because it's already a good game? Like, it's not as fresh, per se, because it was an idea that they had existing already?
It feels weird because it's already been here, kind of, you know?
Yeah, this Resident Evil 4 is one of the most beloved games of, you know, of all time. The OG, right? Everyone, it's at so many people's, you know, best game ever list, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it is going to feel like cheating, you know what I mean?
It's been remade three different times. I mean, we got this remade version, we got the Oculus, we've got the upcoming PSVR version. We've got, of course, you know, everything else, the HD versions before that, the cell phone, like, you know, the mobile version. It's everywhere.
Like one that ran on like iOS like a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think for Tears of the Kingdom, I felt like it was just more like Breath of the Wild, unfortunately. Which is a good thing. I mean, that's a great thing for fans of that series. They're not asking to change it up again, you know, when it's a sequel. And Spider-Man is more Spider-Man. Though I have really enjoyed watching people play Spider-Man.
Right.
It definitely feels like a game, if that makes any sense, right? Like, the quintessential, go around the city, here's a bunch of objectives, do so said objectives, cross them off your list, go to the next place, hit a story beat, you know, kind of playing.
So like the old open world games that are like really, really popular in the mid 2000s. You know, yeah. Like, remember like Infamous and.
It is like that. Right. And what makes it still really good is the web slinging, the way you move around, all of that. The combat is just, it still works very well. But yeah, I don't know. Baldur's Gate 3 for me, for something that I haven't played, which is most of the games on this list, feels like the best one that I've watched.
Yeah, honestly, every time we do this, I'm like, am I playing the wrong games? Like, I'm pretty sure I played games this year. Like, why are none of the games that I played on this list? I'm like, what am I playing?
That's why we have to end up doing another separate show for our personal favorite games.
We always do our own game of the year. Yeah, like one year I was like, AI Somniphiles. The game was awesome.
And wait, didn't that come out this year for, or was it last year for the sequel? The sequel was this year, right?
It was January? This year, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, like way, way early, yeah.
Yeah, I remember I was like, it came out. Oh.
Yeah.
Was this the year?
Obviously not on
this
list because no one gives a shit about it, yeah.
Yeah, and I would just say Alan Wake 2, unfortunately, you're too soon. You're too soon.
Mm.
But Baldur's Gate 3, honestly, I think one of the best things about this game is that the dev team, Larian, this game was like 10 years in the making, you know?
Yeah. And they they got the rights from BioWare, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They took their time on it. They made a bunch, you know, they made three games. I want to say both the Divinities, or at least one of the Divinities, during, you know, to fund this game, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is a team that stayed together for essentially the whole entire time of development. And some could say that's the reason why the game is amazing. It's basically an RPG done by a Western studio that had Nintendo quality time to bake.
Yeah, that's really good.
You don't get that much for most games. So.
Oh yeah, sorry. By the way, AI Somniphiles was last year. I don't know.
Oh, it was last year. Oh, okay.
It was this year.
Yeah, well, you know, these pandemic.
It really,
years
really
not,
felt they, like this year. It really did feel like this year. They, but yeah, no, it was last year.
They fly by, the pandemic years. We don't know what they are.
Yes. Anyways, Baldur's Gate, good game. Good job. But, like, that team did a good job. I think they should be. I'm not to say that none of these teams didn't work hard, obviously, but I think it feels like they put a lot of care into, you know, making the game.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of message is, for me, we'll talk about this on our personal game of the years, but I would have hoped that more of Hi-Fi Rush and Lies of P would have been in there. Like, I really do appreciate new IPs that actually worked. You know, I think that that's something that should be kind of rewarded. But I don't know. We'll see what happens with the Game Awards on the 7th and what trailers drop.
That's what I'm the most excited about. I want to know games they're fucking announcing, you know.
I'm slowly starting to think that Capcom's weird, we're going to make a bunch of money off of in the first quarter or something of 2024 is not Monster Hunter. The leak, it's, apparently the leak, apparently the leak is that it's, or the date for Dragon's Dogma is like March.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So if Dragon's Dogma comes out in March, they're not, where would they put Monster Hunter? It wouldn't be April. Maybe May. I don't know. Maybe April,
I do I believe
it's weird.
Didn't World launched in February of that year, right?
Was February? Yeah. They don't want so, people to be like, "Hey, come play this," because they're very similar.
Oh, it was January when it came out, but at the beginning of the year, yeah.
Yeah, which is already packed as heck. No one wants to move into FF7 territory.
You know, they might put it in
Yakuza.
They might
in Persona.
They haven't even announced it at all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they announce it and it just comes out,
there's no way they would do that. They wouldn't do that, right? They wouldn't be like, "Oh, it's coming out in 3 months." They wouldn't.
They could.
Do that,
I don't
right?
think they'd do that. Maybe like in April or because Q1 is April, May, June.
Yeah, for the fiscal year,
for
Japan,
fiscal
right?
Year,
yeah, April, May, June. Yeah, correct. So they might announce it in April, and then they might release it Q4, maybe.
I want to say something. Yeah. That has to be one of the things. I don't even know what other games are potentially even going to be there. We'll get a Blue Protocol
Pragmata.
We think we'll actually get a Pragmata trailer. We'll probably get a Death Stranding 2 trailer because we didn't get one at the Summer Games Fest.
Uh-huh.
Pragmata. If we get a Pragmata trailer, that'd be nice.
I feel like we're due for another one, though.
Because I skipped TGS.
Yeah, there wasn't one at TGS.
We had like that apology trailer that had like a little bit of stuff, and before that, I don't know what Sega Atlas.
Sega's so fucking weird because I feel like they're just firing on all engines for Persona and Yakuza. That's it.
And Sonic. Those are the only games.
I don't even think Sonic is doing much for Sega.
No, no, like Sonic is doing like great PR. He's got a second season for Sonic Prime, like the animated show. He's got a second season. I think, you know, they had a Sonic game released this year.
Right.
They luckily had Sonic Frontiers do really good.
That was good. But that was last year, right?
Yeah. We also had Sonic 2 movie. I feel like Sonic has moved into like a multimedia realm as opposed to like
games.
I feel like
they have to, because I feel like the games traditionally have not done very well.
No, no. But like you said, they've gone really hard into two franchises.
And Yakuza.
And I guess maybe Reef Metafantissimo, I think that's what it's called. The other from the Persona team. The next thing from the Persona team, sorry. It's not Persona 6.
Yeah, like it looks like Persona, but it's not Persona, yeah.
But yeah, it's like Shin Megami, but Persona, but not either of them.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get another trailer for that. I don't know. Microsoft. Microsoft can show God knows how many things. Literally.
I don't know, dude.
They had a bunch of IPs that we heard about, and then we haven't heard about for a while. So, give me a Hellblade 2 trailer again. With a release date.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
There's also like some. Did we say that one game is canceled?
Which one?
What was the Perfect Dark? Did that get canceled or is that still coming?
It's not canceled. It's just like they basically just said like it'll be a long ass time is what they just said.
Okay.
Like they're working on it, but they're like, we can't give you a date. Just don't expect it anytime soon.
We've got Everwild from Rare. We've got Avowed from Obsidian. Like, that's basically their kind of Elder Scrolls. Well, it's the Fallout 76 team. Not 76, but Fallout New Vegas team. Outer Worlds guys. Uh-huh. So they've got, like, another, you know, hardcore RPG that's going to be coming down the pipeline. Probably, I think, for next year. Probably see something about that. I don't think there's any fighting games outside of Garo.
And that haven't come out yet?
That haven't come out yet.
Well, Tekken 8, but...
Maybe they'll do like a character reveal, like a guest character or something, because the roster is finalized.
Maybe a date proper, actually, you know what I mean? Did they say a date? I can't remember.
No, yeah, it's coming out January 28th, I want to say.
Oh, well then, fuck. Well then, yeah, probably just like one last like story trailer and character trailer, and yeah, then it'll be out really soon.
Yeah, yeah. If there's a character, maybe a collaboration character.
I hope it's fucking Akuma again from Street Fighter.
We have like a contention. Akuma probably isn't going to be in there, unfortunately. Maybe, who knows? He's canon now, so he could be there eventually. But
Noctis.
Noctis def. Yeah, yeah. Noctis isn't coming back, but they could either do Clive or Tifa. Most people want Tifa.
Well, no shit.
You get a choice of two. You ain't getting both of them.
I would Barrett. Barrett.
Barrett? What? No. This man just shoots
you. Yeah, you'd be a grappler type. That'd be sick.
That would be so weird. I don't know. I think Tifa could kind of would get it over Clive, unless they just want a Clive using all different sorts of. I forgot what you call them. Icons. There we go.
The icons. Yeah. Noctis? He was using different weapons, right?
Yeah. He used the different swords.
Yeah. Okay.
And some magic attacks as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Anyways, we will probably talk a little bit more about that next week, which is the 27th. So until then, where can they find you, Alex?
Yeah, you can check out what I'm up to at twitch.tv/Rook24. I'm playing through the very end of Sea of Stars. I'll be done this week. I'm pretty much just like on the final boss, actually. And then I'm going to be playing Super Mario RPG, which came out last week, and I'm actually really excited to play it. So... you know, my girlfriend's been playing it in the living room, so I kind of walk into the living room and she's just playing it, and I'm like, fuck, it looks so damn good, I can't wait to play that. So you should play it, man. You should get that game.
I want to.
It's but yeah, dude, do it.
I gotta finish up what my current things. You can find me on Ninja Trickster. Sorry, you can find me on Twitch at Ninja Trickster. And I am still finishing up Lords of the Fallen. I think we're at the very end of the game, so that'll be pretty much done. And then Jusant, we're still climbing the mountain. Should hopefully finish that this week too. So tune in on Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, 9 p.m. Japan Standard Time. Check us out. And I think that will do it for us this week. Remember, if you're going to vote, vote responsibly.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Cool.
See you later, everybody.